following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
If you would, turn to 2 Samuel 14. Last week, I shared something along the lines of the consequences of avoiding conflict. How many of y'all tend to avoid conflict? Few people. So the rest of y'all have no problem with conflict, huh? Well, last week I talked about the consequences of avoiding conflict, and the problem is when you avoid conflict, it has a way of finding you in spite of you, whether you avoid it or not. Can you amen? And what we saw was we're not only not supposed to avoid conflict, we're supposed to initiate it. Did you know we're supposed to initiate conflict? In other words, we're supposed to go and confront our brother when he's fallen into sin. Can you amen? When someone's getting into something that's problematic or troublesome or sinful, shouldn't we go into their face and confront them? Hello? Isn't that love? Are y'all out there this morning? You know, when you don't speak the truth to someone, when you have an opportunity, Holy Spirit is urging you to go and talk to somebody because they're getting into something, and you don't do it for whatever reason, fear of rejection, you know, I got enough problems, why should I go bring up a new one? You know, a lot of times what could have been nipped in the bud today is going to warrant massive surgery down the line. I know there are times in my life I wish someone younger in my life at certain windows had come and spoken to me about unwise choices I was fixing to make. How many of y'all with me on that? And had someone spoken to me, had the guts to get in my face and speak the truth, I possibly could have avoided a whole lot of years. So we saw that last week. And then there are those who do understand that conflict is a part of the human relationships, but they rarely resolve conflicts to peace. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, the consequences of not resolving a conflict to peace. See, when a conflict is not resolved to peace, issues don't disappear. They tend to get buried, and they usually come up with a vengeance. Remember what I'm talking about. You sweep stuff under the rug long enough, what you're going to have? A lumpy rug. It's not going to go anywhere. Let sleeping dogs lie. Let's let bygones be bygones. Let's not rock the boat. All these terms we have for not doing what we need to do, either avoiding or sometimes we will get in conflict, but we don't resolve it. We just get to the point where, okay, there's some modicum of peace, but the issue's not really addressed. How many of y'all couples know that if you're married and you have issues and you don't work them all the way out to peace, that thing has a way of coming back up again? And again. Can you imagine? None of y'all couples have that problem? Y'all resolve everything to peace every time? 2 Samuel 14:28. Turn there. I'm going to show you a quick example of a situation in the Bible where a situation had been confronted but had not been resolved to peace, and the consequences of not resolving a conflict to peace. 2 Samuel 14:28. Absalom's sister had been raped by his stepbrother, if you know the story, and he in turn murdered his stepbrother. Now this is earlier in 2 Samuel. His stepbrother raped his stepsister, his sister. And King David didn't do the right thing. He didn't really deal with it. He got mad, but didn't deal with the issue. So Absalom got bitter, and ultimately, at some point, he had his stepbrother killed out of vengeance. And then he fled town for 5 years, and finally, after 5 years, he came back to Jerusalem. His dad's wrath had calmed down, and he came back to Jerusalem, but he never resolved the issue, because it says in 2 Samuel 14:28, so Absalom dwelt 2 years in Jerusalem, but not see the king's face. In other words, David was in Jerusalem. His son was in Jerusalem. They were resolved in one sense that David wasn't out to get him, but they were avoiding one another. It's a type of people, they're kind of going to the same church, but they don't look one another in the face. You see this scripture? They're there. They dwell in Jerusalem, but boy, when they would be coming down the road, one would go into this alley and the other would go into that. They don't want to look one another in the face. Have you ever had that situation with somebody? That you've kind of made peace, but you really don't want to encounter them. You really would just soon they go to Timbuktu to serve the Lord. Amen? You know, if they do go to Timbuktu to serve the Lord, guess what the Holy Ghost is going to call you to? Well, he may call you to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But if he does, somebody will be there that will remind you of the person that's in Timbuktu. Now look at 14:29. That's the next verse. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king. But he would not come to him. And when he sent him the second time, he wouldn't come. In other words, Absalom said, this is getting old. I want to see my dad. Therefore, he said to his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine. He's barley there. Go set the field on fire. And Absalom's servant set the field on fire. So Joab arose and came to Absalom in his house and said, why did your servant set my field on fire? And Absalom said, well, I sent unto you, saying, come hither that I can send to the king, and wherefore am I come from Geshur? It'd been good for me not to have been here. Now therefore, let me see the king's face. And if there's iniquity in me, let the king kill me. So Joab came to the king and told him. And when he called for Absalom, Absalom came to the king, bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Now, you know what? You can write in your margin, if you can fit it there, is reconciled, but not resolved. Are reconciled but unresolved. The issue had never been talked about. They were reconciled, but they never dealt with the issue that caused him to run in the first place. The fact that David did not deal with Amnon, who raped his sister, and then he never dealt with it, and so Absalom's real bitterness was not just against his brother, but against his dad. And then never really dealt with it. They just basically made peace, but they never talked it out to peace.
Has anybody here ever done that in a situation?
Make peace, but you don't want to tread where angels fear to walk. Well, the result was that bitterness and hurt in Absalom festered inside of him until it broke out into an open revolt against David. Look at chapter 15, verse 6. So in this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And if you could read that chapter, literally an insurrection, a rebellion, the country broke into civil war led by Absalom to throw his king, kill his dad. So they had reconciled, but because they never resolved, that thing sat in him, festered, and finally came up with a vengeance. You know, had David done the right thing and just resolved that thing to peace, it's amazing what would have been avoided. And there's reasons I believe he didn't. It's really interesting if you think about it. Because the very sin that Amnon had fallen into, he had fallen into. Do y'all remember that? See, his son Amnon had raped his sister. But what had David done years before himself? It wasn't a rape, but what did he fall into? Amen? So there was tended to be, because it was a weakness in his, he had a leniency. He couldn't see clearly. It was fuzzy. He probably had a lot of guilt, you know, self-condemnation. So he could not correct his children properly because of the weakness in his own soul. You know, a lot of times, if we have a failure in our life, we think we cannot stand up for righteousness with that failure in someone else's life. And if that were true, there would be no preachers on the planet. Because if a preacher, if someone that shared the word had to live perfectly everything he preached, there would be silence in the pulpits over the land. There's something called forgiveness. Can you amen? Hello? Something called the grace of God. The reality is when you're weak, you're strong. The truth is in your very weakness actually becomes your strength because you know the grace of God to get someone delivered in it. But anyway, so here we have a situation. Look at Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. King James reads, provide things honest. Did you know it's dishonest to not fully resolve issues to peace with them? Psalm 34:14 says, we're commanded to seek peace and pursue it. I can tell you in my own life, there were a couple of situations years ago that involved people that had been hurt or judging or wounded or whatever, that I never really resolved the peace for whatever reason. And I can tell you, two particular situations I can think about, it took a couple of years, but they came full circle around a bite and caused real, real problems. Because I didn't realize that that person had bitterness in their heart. I thought it had been resolved, but it really hadn't been. I justified why it shouldn't have been. And I can tell you, it came full circle. One of them took 5 years to come all the way around. And the situation was such that it was, I ended up, actually, it was almost like a lawsuit was going on because of a situation. And there was no reason for this person to be that way, except the Holy Spirit showed me they were bitter from something from 5 years before. I'd never worked. And that wasn't enough. It had to happen again with another person a year or two later. And I finally went, okay, Lord. So I've learned, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Can you hear amen? I mean, sometimes you can't live peaceably with everybody because some people are just going jerks and they're going to be jerks until Jesus comes. But as much as you can, you humble yourself. Like not long ago, we had some kids. Remember that, Randy? Those kids came up on our bike, on our lawn, juvenile, delinquent types. And we live on a bayou and there's some apartments down the way and there's, you know, there's crime in those apartments a couple of miles or so away. And, praise God, I've lived in this home for many, many years. What, gosh, 12 years, hadn't had any problem but the grace of God.
Always.
And the fact that we have barbed wire fence. But it's a really nice place. It's quiet. It's peaceful. Well, one day we had these kids come on the lawn, and I was encouraged by one of the brethren. We need to be gentle with those kids that do things like running their bikes and causing grass to be, you know, dug up. I said, let's just correct them gently. Amen? Get a couple of kids mad. They go down to bayou one night, huh? They go down, I'm going to cover your sin, brother. Let me expose your sin before all the multitude here. Okay. Okay, Randy went out there and started railing on them. And they went down, and I went out there and said, Randy, what have you done? These kids are mad. I could see it in the middle of the night. I mean, you know, slashing tires, you know, paint. So I appealed him to go, and he did. Randy went down to bayou, didn't you? And you found him. Okay, went down, and they made peace with the kids. Said, look, we didn't appreciate what you did, but they made peace. And, you know, we hadn't had any problems. Can you imagine? As much as lies in you, what? Live peaceably. Now, why do some people leave issues unresolved? Anyway, why do people not resolve issues to peace? There's a reason. Why in marriages are things covered up but never fully dealt with? You know one reason? Fear of rejection. Fear of confrontation. Some people grew up where all confrontation was full of anger and never resolved all their life, so they just think that's the way life is. Nothing ever gets worked out. Nobody stays mad, and then everything gets nice and quiet, but underneath it's boiling. And they grew up that way all their life. So they grew up, and when they're parents, they think that's the way life is. Was that way the way I grew up? When I was a kid, I don't remember family meetings. Well, let's talk about all of our feelings and deal with the issues of anger. And hello, that never happened in my home. There was not a resolution to most of the situation I grew up. As a result, I was very averse to confrontation for many years. Anybody here have that struggle? Come on. A lot of times it's because of the way we grew up. And you know, a lot of times, like I've said so many times, it's a mom and dad issue in our life. It's because somewhere we're bitter, we're resentful, we're mad at the way mom and dad grew us up. We got a judgment. We spoke evil. We did something to dishonor our mom and dad. And when you dishonor your mom and dad, I'm telling you, that'll have effect for the rest of your life. Because the commandment is, honor thy father and my mother, that it may be well with you, and that you what? May live long. So a lot of people, it didn't well with them, and they're not living long. They got sick. Why? Because somewhere they dishonored mom and dad. So you got to go back and say, Lord, where did I judge my parents? Because if you judge your parents, you know, it's inevitable. You're going to do the same thing. Judge not, lest you be judged. With what measure you meet out what? You can do the same thing. And God will put you in a situation where you're doing the exact thing like your mom or dad. And here you are. I remember one time with my stepson. He'd done something. Made me mad. I mean, made me mad. And I went in there, and I was, and while I was, I remember thinking, my God, I am my dad. I could feel my dad in my hands. I could hear my dad in my voice. Ah, I've become my dad. Horrors. Well, it's because my dad would do that, and I had so much judgment in my heart against my dad, the way he treated me. I didn't think, I thought I forgave him. The truth is, I'd forgiven him, but I hadn't asked forgiveness for my judgment towards him. When I finally did that, praise God, that thing doesn't rise up in me as readily. How many of y'all got your parents inside of you? And it comes up once in a while. Come on. You become your parents. And God, that's God's mercy. So he can break that curse. So your kids don't become like their grandparents. And like you. You know what? The truth is, folks, Two more places. Proverbs 15:2. We'll just go look at two Proverbs in conclusion. I'm sorry, 15:12. You know what? Did you know it's incumbent upon you to take the initiative to resolve issues? In Matthew 5, it says, when you come to the altar and you remember there that your brother has aught against you, go and reconcile. In Matthew 18, it says that there you remember that you have aught against your brother. In other words, both cases, it's incumbent upon you and I to take the initiative to reconcile. You cannot say, well, I'll just wait till they did it to me. They wronged me. I'll just sit here and wait for them to come. You know what? That scripture says, It's incumbent upon you to take the initiative to resolve. Can you hear that? And you say, well, those scriptures apply to them. Yeah. But them is them and you is you. Sometimes if you got that attitude, God just may put the spirit of sleep over them. They'll never come because God's trying to break that pride in you. Am I speaking to anybody out there this morning? Is this just intellectual stuff to y'all or is it real in your life? 15:2. Probably, a scorner does not love one that reproves him. Neither will he go to the wise. You know why people don't work out issues to peace? It's because the scorner won't love me. They'll misunderstand me. They might reject me. That person is moving in pride or whatever. I don't want to go. They're just going to blast me. Well, they might. That means you're not supposed to try. And what did Jesus say? If you do go to them, they blast you. Didn't Jesus give us step two? What was that? Take with you what? One or two more. And if they still don't work it, didn't he give us step three? You know, a lot of people never go to step two. Rarely ever to step three. They'd rather just sit around avoiding one another, being in Jerusalem, never looking at the king's face, never deal with it, rather than follow the steps Jesus said. And you know, it's interesting. That's the one thing Jesus said about the church. The church today, in most American churches, do all of these things, but they rarely ever do the one thing Jesus said to do in the church. The one thing Jesus said in the red letters to do in the church was if your brother offends you, go to him. If he doesn't, take with you two or more. If he doesn't, let it be told to the church. That's the one thing Jesus said. And you go to the average church, they do everything under the sun except what Jesus said. They have outreaches, they have Sunday schools, they have this and that and that and that and that. But the one thing they're not doing is encouraging the people to resolve the issues between each other. And if necessary, draw two or more in and resolve those issues to peace. And if the peace cannot be resolved and the person is belligerent and hard-headed, doesn't want to work in peace, then bring it to the church, bring it to the eldership, and if necessary, we'll excommunicate them. That's what Jesus said to do. Am I right? Matthew 18 is in the Bible. Anybody want to know why it's not done in most churches? Because most of the people be excommunicated. It's true. I don't go to church and have to deal with all that stuff. I go to church here to preach. I don't want to deal. I love you, brother. I love you. Love you, brother. Turn around. No, I've had enough of you. I'll hug you next week. And there's so much bitterness and hate and hardness and anger and judgment and perversion in churches today. Wickedness, religion, scorning. So what happens if someone does not resolve issues to peace? Listen, they end up living a life of accommodation, compromise, and they reap the harvest of superficial, shallow relationships for the rest. You never get this thing. You know, whatever you do, Jesus said, to the least of these, my brethren, why? You know what? God wants us to work these things out. Now, maybe while I'm talking, you may be listening to the CD, or you're in the room hearing me. The Holy Spirit, while I'm talking right now, is nailing you, and he's showing you there's somebody you have not resolved something. He's been bugging you. There was a lady up here Friday night. Jean and I were ministering to her. She has a situation and a problem. Brought it out. You know, I looked at the lady and said, ma'am, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? And she was very honest and told us. And I said, then you need to go do that. That was all our ministry was. Can you understand? To that woman. I said, when you do that, we can pray for you. She was not doing what the Holy Spirit was saying. I said, we're not going to pray here, or we'll pray a blessing that you go do what he said. Can you understand? It's religion to pray for. We're going to involve in demons and stuff. I said, we can't bind those demons until you go obey the Lord. Do what the Lord said to do. Then. And she heard that. She needed that. And I trust she'll do it. And so is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? He speaks to me when I look at these scriptures. Search your heart. Search me, O God, and try me and see if there's any way in me. See if there's anybody, an Absalom sitting out there in your circle of friends, that's got a bitterness towards you because you never had the guts to go and walk through the fear and work it out. As much as lives in. Now, look, like I said, there's going to be some people, they're just obstinate and they're just, but you at least do the best you can. Can you amen? You at least try. Give it the effort so that you can honestly stand before God and say, Lord, I did the best I could. And he says, I know. But you know, the Lord knows your heart. If you did the best you could, are you just justified? Well, they're a jerk, Lord. I mean, they're just, they're hard. They're full of, the Lord says, I'm not going to listen to any of that. And if they are all that, all the more reason to go to them. Right? To love your enemy. Last verse, Proverbs 28:23. Here's the truth. He that rebukes a man afterwards, Proverbs 28:23, he that rebukes a man afterwards finds more favor than he that flatters. He that rebukes a man afterwards finds more favor. You know, the truth is, so many people are afraid to work things out of fear, rejection. You know, the truth is, when you got the guts to stand up for what you believe and what's right and resolving issues, the people are going to respect you, maybe grudgingly so. They may throw up this big front, but the truth is they respect you. They respect the fact you have the guts. You're willing to, you know, stand up for what's right, even in the face of rejection. That causes people to admire you. They may not show it, but you know, in their heart, they say, you know, I wish I was like. I did a sermon once years ago entitled Respect is the Secret to Every Relationship. And I really believe it. Every relationship, romantic relationship, parental relationships, boss, employee relationship, everything boils down on respect. Someone respecting you. You know what people respect? People respect someone that will stand up for what they believe. You know what people don't respect? Is someone that's a coward and waves with the wind. You know what I'm saying? Says what the people want to hear. Says what they want to hear. Just says whatever. Like, licks her finger. Where's the wind blowing? That's what I'll say. I believe, and I trust George W. will win the election. Not particularly for any political reason, except I'll say one thing about that guy. He seems to have a trait that he does what he thinks is right, and he really doesn't hold his wind up for the polls. And I think people like that about him. Whether they agree with it or not. How many of y'all have friends like that? You just know somebody in your circle that they just do what they think's right, whether people like it or not. Makes you want to follow them. Makes you want to emulate them. Well, guess who I know really is like that more than anybody else? Jesus. You look at him in the gospel. He wasn't impressed with nobody. I mean, he didn't care who you were. The religious leaders came up. You bunch of snakes. Who's warned you to flee from wrath? He didn't want to impress by anybody. Oh, he'd go the extra mile for little kids. I mean, but he would spend more time with an adulterous woman who had a broken heart than he would all, you know, he just stood up for what's right. And that's what it really boils down to is, do we have the courage to stand up for what's right in these relationships and resolve these issues to peace? Is the Holy Ghost speaking to anybody this? Hello? Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray simply this, that where the Holy Ghost is whispering, we would obey and we would not be fools and harden and judge and continue along rationalizing, we would simply say, yes, Lord. And it may be hard. We may have to walk through some fear. But, Lord, help us to obey so that we can put it behind us and go on in life and be promoted to a new level of peace and joy and freedom and respect. And not only respect, we can respect ourselves. We can know, praise God. I'm willing to stand up for Jesus. Willing to lose everything. Come, Holy Spirit. Bring the conviction. We can obey. Lord, because that's all you really want us, just to love one another. And love us hard, sir. Love our enemies. Turn the other cheek. Bless those that curse us. Pray for us. We're going to be abused and used, cursed when we do these things. But, hey, so will you. Lord, the privilege of sharing in the sufferings of Jesus, that I may know him and the fellowship of suffering. Lord, we never really know you until we suffer with you. It's all religious form. That's when the power comes. We find the grace when we humble ourselves and suffer with you.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.